helps us find her before she takes out another 25 civilians, not so crappy. And she'll go for more next time. She's keeping score. She'll be watching screen, too, see what we're saying about her, reading between the lines. Change her appearance a little bit. Go more for the boy look, maybe, or get herself a wig, go all girl. She's planned it. Her father's daughter. I want another guarantee, Mackie said to Rio. I want a guarantee she'll be brought in alive and unharmed. Mr. Mackie, I'm an APA, not a police officer. I can't guarantee what may happen during an attempt to apprehend her. If she resists, if she fires on officers or civilians, they bring her in alive or no deal. I can amend the deal this way. I can promise that every attempt will be made to bring your daughter in alive, that no officer will use excessive force or give a termination order. If I told you I could do more, you'd know I was lying to you. I'm giving you the best chance for her. Add that in. Add that in and I'll sign it. Let me clear it. Rio, APA, share, exiting interview. She stepped out, took a breath, whipped out her link. And as she spoke to her supervisor, held up a hand for Eve to wait. That's right. Yes, sir. I have the primary right here, and she understands the additional terms. Done. She clicked off, nodded at Dallas. Done. They'll add it in, send the amended agreement. Can you enforce it? I'll make it clear. I want her alive, Rio. I want her in the same box as he is. I want to look in her eyes and tell her she's finished. And when she's 18? Eve merely smiled, flat and cold. Go pick up your paperwork. Then we'll see what he has to say. Eve turned away to answer her own link. Dallas. Heating up, boss, Baxter told her. We caught a whiff of her heading east on 52nd this morning. We're heading back to her old neighborhood. Ask around that ice cream place. Divine. She's got a weakness. On it. Can always use a scoop of chocolate sin in a sugar cone. How's it going there? Closing it up. I'll be in touch. She waited for Rio. I've got your chicken shit right here, Rio said. Then let's make it work. We think she's got a hole back in the place her father had them before the first strike. Let's see if he can get us closer before she kills somebody else. Eve stepped back in, restarted the record. Mackie's skin had gone translucent under the sheen of sweat. He needed a fix, Eve thought. Was hanging on by a thread. You can get her a free ride. Eve poured disgust over her tone. Save her life, and maybe, though you don't give a cold shit, save innocent lives. 3 years inside isn't a free ride, Rio said briskly, and, sitting, offered the amended agreement to Mackie. Tell that to the 25 people dead and the ones left behind to mourn them. Eve slapped her palms on the table, leaned into Mackie's sweating face. You think my hands are tied? Only for now. When she gets out, I'll be on her. I'll know when she sleeps, when she eats, when she farts, and I'll be right there when she makes a mistake. Remember that. Count on it. The priority here is to find Willow Mackie before she harms anyone else. It should be yours, Lieutenant. Rio offered Mackie a pen. You sign first, Mackie said. With a nod, Rio signed in her pretty perfect penmanship. Mackie snatched the pen, managed a shaky, jittery scrawl. Rio put the agreement and the pen in her briefcase, closed it. Mr. Mackie, where is your daughter? She should be on her way to Alaska. We worked out 3 routes. She was supposed to take a bus to Columbus, then choose one of 3 routes west. But she isn't on her way to Alaska, is she? Rio kept her voice reasonable. Where is she? This agreement is null and void unless you offer information that leads to her arrest. She's strong-willed, determined. The girl's a winner. Eve's sound of derision had Mackie's blurry eyes cutting up to her face. You don't know her. If you do, Eve shot back, where is she? She wants to finish what we started. She's no quitter. She wants more than that. You know she wants more than that, or you'd never have signed that agreement. The asshole her mother married's always on her case. So, naturally, he has to die. If you want to save her life, the life of that little boy, tell me where the fuck she is and stop making excuses for her. If we ever got separated, or she needed to regroup, couldn't get out of the city right off, she was to go back to the apartment, to the area we'd scoped out, where she knows the lay of the land, where she's a familiar face so nobody much notices. You want us to believe she went back to the place we've already nailed down? It's got a basement, a storage room, an old laundry room. Machines are busted down there, so nobody uses it. We laid in some supplies. You think we didn't go through that building, pull in those supplies, and seal it up? Eve dropped down into a chair. You're wasting my time. If she couldn't get into the building, or if she felt it was being surveilled, there's a flop on Lex between 39th and 40th. If she needed time to regroup or wait for me or let things cool, she'd go there, lay low, wait it out. What's she carrying? When he hesitated, Eve leaned forward again. You want her taken alive? What's she carrying? She's got a tactical XT, military, with long-range scope. Night vision option. Two hand blasters. A police-issue stunner, pump laser, 6 flash grenades. Sharps, combat knife, flip sticker, telescope baton with bayonet. Body armor? Full body. Plus helmet, of course. If you've left out so much as a penknife and she uses it on one of my people, that agreement isn't worth jack. She's got a multi-tool. It's got sharps. Tell her I said to stand down. Tell her that her father said to stand down and live. The basement of the apartment or the flop on Lex. Those are the planned retreats. Then you'd better hope we find her. Interview end. She turned him over to uniforms with instructions to put him on suicide watch. She let Rio deal with the legalities. Loewenbaum had already moved out of observation, barking orders into his comm. You want to ride with us? He asked her. No, I've got my own to set up. I've got 2 detectives in that area already. If she's there, I don't want her making them and popping off strikes. Get your op set up. Odds are on the flop. She could get into the basement, but it's a wrong move when she knows we've been in that location. She wouldn't make that wrong a move. Agreed, but we'll sweep for heat source, if I can pull your EDD team with us. Take them. She pulled out her own comm as she strode toward her bullpen. Baxter, she began, then filled him in. Reinecke, Jenkinson, suit up. Uniform Carmichael, pick 6 and do the same. Santiago, Detective Carmichael, your second unit. Full suits. Suspect is Willow Mackey, age 15. She is armed and dangerous. Weaponry includes military-grade tactical XT with scope and night vision, 2 blasters, stunner, pump laser, flash grenades, various sharps. Do not, repeat, do not let her age deter you from stunning the living shit out of her. We want her alive. SWAT is moving in to surround and secure. Peabody, get a freaking map of the sector on this half-ass screen. Eve worked it out as she went. She won't go easy. And if she spots us, or Lohenbaum's team, she will attempt to pick us off. She's not in the freaking basement, Eve muttered. It's bad planning. She'd want higher ground, an eyeline. We'll clear it, but that's not where she is. The flop. Would you like the building's details? Rourke said from behind her. Helpful. He stepped over to Peabody, interfaced his PPC with the comp. Post-urban construction, he told Eve. Currently an SRO primarily used by low-level LCs, transients, addicts, and petty criminals. 8 stories, 12 rooms per story. A small lobby with droid service. Cash only. Rooms by the half hour, hour, night, and week. No soundproofing, no privacy screening. Got it. Heat sourcing will give us occupied rooms, and anyone who's alone. She won't have company. Ears may help. She paced back and forth in front of the image. We'll hit the droid, get verification. If she's in there, we'll get people out, if possible. Single room, single window, single door. She may have the door booby-trapped, LT, Reinecke said. Yeah, I would. I don't like it. She paced again. It's not a basement, but where the hell's her out? Fire escape? She'd know we'd have the exterior covered. She may believe she can fight her way out, Mira put in. She's 15, indestructible, and the star of her own personal drama. Maybe. But it niggled at her, niggled as she refined the op, as she prepared to move out. I'm with you, Rourke told her. Okay. Distracted, she frowned at him. Why? Is that a personal or a professional question? You'd be more use with EDD. Not necessarily. Particularly, as you don't think she's where they're going. I don't see why he'd lie. Why he'd go through the whole agreement deal just to lie. He wants her to live, and it was the right angle, pushing the brother, her plans to do the kid, the others. I could see him take it in, see he knew she'd go there. But he wants her to live. And he wants her to get out, to know she'll only spend a few years inside. She's his child. He wasn't lying, but take a minute. Shaking her head, she pulled a combat knife from her drawer, slid it from the sheath back in. Clock's ticking, she said as she hooked it to her belt. And Lohenbaum is even now putting men in position to pin her down. Take a moment and let whatever's brewing in that head of yours out. It's more gut. But she stopped, sat, put her boots on her desk, stared at the board. When Peabody started in, Rourke held up a hand to silence her. Head? Gut, instinct, sixth sense, or cop logic, whatever it was, he knew it was working inside her. They'd wait. 18. She should be on her way to Alaska. But she wasn't. She was supposed to take a bus to Columbus. But she didn't. They had a mission. But she had another of her own. Hidden from her father, her teacher, her mentor. He wants her to live. She wants to kill. He tells her to run, stay safe, wait it out. Running, safety, for losers. Waiting takes too long. She wants to kill. She's not going to listen to him, Eve murmured. It's not because she's 15. Maybe that plays a part, but that's not the crux. It's just not. She knows she's better than he is. He's lost his physical edge, and hers is still sharp. He's weak, isn't he? She shoved up then, paced, her eyes on the board. Who accomplished that? She did, not him. Stay safe? She doesn't want safe. She wants action. She wants the excitement, the points, the targets. Her targets. Where would she go? Rourke asked her. Not to some mangy flop with whores and junkies. Not to some hole to curl up and wait until whenever. It's all now. It's all today. It's about her. She's the center. She wants the center. If she wanted safe, she'd be gone. She's not gone because it's now and it's about what she wants. Her mission now. She'd go home. If she's at the apartment, Peabody began, that's not home. That's HQ. Her father's HQ. And that mission is done, at least for now. The townhouse. Her mother's house. She turned around, and Rourke saw it in her eyes. Instinct became knowledge. It's comfortable. It's hers. Clothes, food, entertainment. Again, an area she knows. And right now, an empty house. And better, more important, fucking vital. They'll come back. A few days, a week. But they'll come back. The three people who top her list. That's something she'll wait for. We sealed it. She'll get in. Her father would have taught her how to get around and through a seal. She can have the place to herself. Privacy screens down. She can watch the screen, judge when the media play eases off, tuck up somewhere and wait. They come in, they feel safe or safer. She just has to hole up. Just wait until the house is locked up tight, until it's all quiet. Take the stepfather first, then the mother, then the kid. Then take what you want, whatever you want, and walk away. Find somewhere else to kill. Should I pull the op? Peabody asked. No. As she weighed percentages against instinct, Eve dragged her fingers through her hair, pulled at it. I could be wrong. I'm not, but I could be. Let it play. The three of us, then. Eve nodded at Rourke. If you're up for it. Personally or professionally? Funny. Peabody, bring that location on screen. She pulled out her comm. Reinecke, I'm peeling off. It was a risk. Eve thought, after she'd checked out her weapons, after they'd gone down to the garage. She loaded a laser rifle, a scope, the equipment Rourke would use in her deceptively ordinary DLE. The earbud kept her in constant communication with the other teams. If the percentages proved true, she could be with the main team in minutes. If her instincts were on target, she could pull in the main team fast. EDD reported no heat source in the basement, none in the apartment. They continued to identify sources in the flop. Carmichael would pose as an LC, Santiago as her mark. They'd enter the building and deal with the droid. I can send backup, Loewenbaum told her. I can send you a couple of guys. We've got it for now. One of us is going to be in the right place. When we know, the others get their ass there fast. I hear that. Try not to kill her, Loewenbaum. Same to you. Eve handed Peabody a visored helmet. She'll aim for your head. That's comforting. Peabody slid into the back seat. I'll drive, Eve told Rourke. You work the portable. She can't keep watch out the windows 24/7, but she may have cams set up to give her a view of the street, the sidewalks. She glanced at Rourke as she pulled out. How close do you want me? The boys in the van snag the best toys, but I can make do with this. Try for within 50 feet of the building. Eve drove, considered. Contacted Nadine on her wrist unit. Get ready to go on with a bulletin. What? Nadine shoved a hand at her hair, tied back in a short tail and far from camera ready. How hot? I got home an hour ago after doing spots on last night, on Mackie's arrest, on the manhunt for his daughter. Have you got her? Just be ready when I tag you back. She cut Nadine off, whipped around a rapid cab. She'll be ready. For what? Peabody wondered. To go on with the bulletin that will pull our suspect's attention away from the street, the sidewalk. You're going to blow the other up, Rourke concluded. Not if she's there. Not if I'm wrong. And not while there's a cop unsecured. But if she's not there, you're not wrong, and the rest are secure, you'll feed Nadine the other up. As it's going down. Rourke smiled as he fiddled with the sensor. She'll be very annoyed with you, our Nadine. She'll get over it when I give her the exclusive on this op. This helmet's heavy, and it echoes. Eve flicked a glance in the rearview mirror at Peabody with the black helmet and visor in place. Take it off until you need it. You look ridiculous. Not at all, Rourke smiled back at her. Sexy stormtrooper. Really? Stay on point, Eve warned. I'm still figuring out how to get in without giving her time to kill us. I have every confidence, Rourke said, continuing his work on the portable, hoping to boost its range. I don't want to double park, drawing her attention when people start blasting horns and bitching. How much inside 50 feet? I think I can get a read at 60 now. It's worth a try. Eve considered the option of using a building, flashing a badge and getting Rourke set up in a neighboring house, but she spotted a curbside barely big enough for a mini. She could make it work. Making it work meant using the DLE to nudge another vehicle up to the bumper of the one in front of it and doing the same to the one behind. With that, and a lot of maneuvering, she squeezed in. This is more like 65 than 60. If you can't do it from here, why didn't you say so before I got here? I didn't say that. Just give me another minute. She put a hand to her ear. Yeah, go. She said to Jenkinson. Santiago and Carmichael are in. The check-in droid gives a negative on the suspect. How reliable a negative? They say it's wonky, so Feeney's sending Callender in to work on it. We got about a dozen single heat sources. Feeney's done some calculation and takes four of them out. You can't get accurate height and weight, but his calcs say those four are way too big for the suspect. Good enough. We're about 65 feet from the target location. Rourke's working on scanning for heat sources. We'll let you know. She ended transmission, shifted to Rourke. Well, you understand this is meant to work at much closer range, which I'd already managed to increase before you added to that range, so bugger off a minute. She buggered off by tapping her fingers on the steering wheel. Better if they nailed her at the other location, Eve thought. Better if they had that flop surrounded, took her there. But all right, then. Let's see if I've performed a small miracle. Rourke programmed the coordinates, tapped in codes, scanned the small screen. Geeks rule! With her chin on the back of his seat, Peabody studied the screen through her visor. You gotta read! Now let's see if there's anyone home. He began a slow scan, starting with the main floor. A narrow basement area beneath, in case you didn't know. Nothing there. Nothing on the main floor. Starting scan of second floor. Nothing flared as he scanned slowly foot by foot. Second floor clear. starting scan on third level. Here or there. There or here, Eve thought, waiting for one of her team to report back, waiting for something to flare. Ah, geeks and cops rule, it seems. There she is, Lieutenant. I see her, Eve noted, and watched the flare of the heat source on screen. Stretched out. I bet she's bored. Watching the screen, watching monitors. We're gonna give her some excitement. Lohenbaum, got you back, he said. Your EDD cutie's in there, working the droid. But word is, his memory disk doesn't show the suspect in the last 24. That's as far as he goes. Because she's here. Son of a bitch. I want you to leave some of your men on that building. Visible, Lohenbaum, but not too obvious about it. I'm going to use your location as a distraction. Throw her off. The rest of you come in fast and quiet. We're going to take her, Lohenbaum. Bet your superior ass. Reinecke, you copy? That's affirmative. Leave some of the uniforms. Make them visible. And get the rest of the team to this location. Barricades at the end of the block, both sides. Keep out of eyeline unless and until I say different. We're gonna move in five. Watch your ass, LT, and the rest of you. She tagged Nadine again. NYPSD officers, including SWAT, are moving in on the remaining suspect in the recent LDSK murders. Lieutenant Eve Dallas is supervising a takedown of Willow Mackey, believed to be holed up in an SRO building on Lexington. Dallas reports an arrest is imminent. What kind of bullshit is this? You never report that, and you never feed the media during an op. You're not just the media, are you? Go with it. Go now. I can promise you it'll be worth it. Every level worth it. Go with it, Nadine. I'll go with it, damn it. You're gonna owe me. I've already got the payment ready. Later. Eve engaged her comp screen. It shouldn't take her long. In fact, it took just under 2 minutes before Channel 75's feed went to their hot blue and jittery red breaking news flash. The on-air reporter announced an important development in the hunt for the suspect in the Madison Square attack and threw it to Nadine, whose voice came over with a photo of her in the corner of the screen. This is Nadine First reporting by remote, as even now, police officers and SWAT units converge. Eve cut off the screen, shoved open her door the instant she saw the heat source move from recline to stand. We got her attention. Gear up. She tossed Rourke a helmet. Now, really, Eve, wear it or stay here. She pulled out her own, shook her head at it. Hate these. They're heavy, and they echo. What I said! I never said you were wrong. First, we get in. That's on you, she said to Rourke. I take the front stairs. Peabody, you go through. Go up the back stairs. If she's wearing body armor, aim for the head. Nobody sits around watching screen in one of these damn helmets. Make damn sure your stunner's on mid-range. We aren't giving her any love taps, but I don't want to risk paralysis. She doesn't go down, you amp it up. Rourke, I need you to hang back, second level, in case she gets by us. She gets by us, you take her out. Back up? Peabody asked. By the time we're in position, by the time we get in, they'll be here. Where is she? Eve asked Rourke. Sitting, very likely, on the floor of the room. Third floor, front of the house, far side. Watching the screen. Keep it going, Nadine. 65 feet. Let's cover it. They moved fast, eating up the ground on a cold, clear day, with Rourke keeping track on the portable. Not a lot of tourists on this more residential street, Eve noted. And most natives barely spared a glance at three people half-jogging down the sidewalk wearing visored helmets. But even jaded New Yorkers would gather and point at a SWAT unit. The goal? Get in before the op drew any sort of attention, before Willow Mackey realized her location was blown. They reached the door, crouched down together. Peabody, take the portable. She moves, we know it. She'd need to be at the window, angled, and looking down this way to spot us. Rourke, do your thing. Scanning security first. Reinecke, status. Barricades going up. We'll come on foot from here. You and Jenkinson take the back of the building. Hold there until I tell you, then come in hard. Lowenbaum. Copy. Target is third floor, southeast window. She's on the floor, watching screen. So if you're gonna move your men, do it now, do it fast. We've got her. Feeney's located her. We're moving. I'll have men on rooftops, facing buildings. Sending another team with yours to the rear. She's pinned, Dallas. Pinned isn't done. We're working on silent entry.
She's a clever girl, Rourke said.
She's jury-rigged a secondary alarm. I expect it signals her link. It's clever, but relatively basic. Just another moment. To give her time. To give her a heads up, Eve thought, when the family came home. She glanced around, scanned, caught a flash of movement on the roof of the building directly across the street. Peabody? She hasn't budged. Rourke? Alarm's down. I'm on the locks. And they're popped. All teams, we're going in. Peabody, rear steps. Dallas, front. Rourke, front to station on second level. We're on the move. She reached for the door handle. Leave the portable, Peabody. Straight back, straight up. As she eased open the door, she drew her weapon. Technology aside, she swept the foyer, straightened slowly. We're in, she murmured for the recorder, and signaled Peabody to go. With Rourke, Eve started up the stairs, said nothing when he held a weapon very similar to her own. Feeney? Gotcha, kid. Got Rourke, got Peabody. Targets in the same position. Heading up to her now. She gestured to Rourke. Stay here. Baxter, Trueheart, Santiago, Carmichael, move in the front. Fan out inside. She started up the next flight, ears cocked. Halfway up, she heard the murmur of voices, identified Nadine's. She made it up two more before she heard the distinctive creak from the back stairs. She didn't need Feeney's warning in her ear that Willow heard it too. She caught the sound, the scramble of feet, started up in a run. Move, move, move! Police! She shouted, leaping up the last stair. This is the police! The flash grenade exploded on impact, 2 feet in front of her. Even with the visor, the blast of light burned against her eyes. Momentarily blinded, she lay down a stream along the floor, hoping to keep the target contained. She felt return fire, heat and pressure against her shoulder, her hip, pivoted. Willow hit her hard, a shoulder in the sternum with momentum behind it. It took Eve down, stole her breath, but she rolled, threw out a hand, managed to snag the girl by the ankle. Got a vicious kick in the head that had her helmet vibrating. She heard shouting through the glare, the smoke, through her earbud. Pounding feet. More than seeing, she felt her quarry swing around, shove up from where she'd fallen, and fire toward the shouts. Because Eve rolled again, the next kick glanced off her ribs. She tossed up her legs, scissored them, connected hard enough to send Willow stumbling. Seconds before the next flash exploded, she saw the blur of movement shoot to the left. She fainted right, heard the whine of the strike from the handheld shimmer the air where she'd been. From a crouch, she did a fast forward roll toward the doorway in the direction the blur had gone. She dove left this time, so the strike shot through the opening. Thinking of her team, thinking of blocking escape, Eve kicked the door closed.
She couldn't see. Not clearly enough through the smoke, through the glare. Which meant she couldn't be seen. Any attempt to communicate with her team would give away her position. She did what Master Wu taught her in those strange and fascinating lessons in the dojo. She breathed through her toes, became the fish, whatever the hell that meant. She risked lifting her visor. She couldn't breathe, couldn't hear through the echoes. She went absolutely still and let her senses rule. The faintest sound, like the movement of the smoke in the air. Following instinct, Eve fired toward it, aimed low, heard the hiss of shock, rolled, fired again. The door crashed open and shouts rang through it. The volley of strikes zipping through the smoke, the open door had her shouting to get back, get back, even as she sprang up to dive clear herself. She caught a glimpse, barely a glimpse, through the glaring billow of smoke. The girl wearing a riot vest, the laser in one hand, the grenade in the other. The grenade hand unsteady. It was unsteady from a glancing stream. Eve's weapon and the grenade went off simultaneously. Still tuned, Eve heard the rush of boots across the floor, leaped over, slammed the door. The resulting thud and fall brought only an instant of satisfaction. Eve fell on the target, grappled with her in the choking smoke. It was ugly. A hard knee to the crotch seared straight through Eve. An elbow shot had her eye burning, watering, but she managed to grip Willow's weapon hand with her left, began to twist. They rolled, with the girl getting in a couple of decent punches while Eve focused on disarming her. The laser went off, shot a strike through the privacy screen, smashed the window. "Give it up," Eve ordered. "There's nowhere to go." "Fuck you!" When the door slapped open again, Eve wrapped Willow's weapon hand hard on the floor. "Hold fire! Hold fire! I've got her! Almost! Don't fucking stun me!" She shifted, using her weight to increase pressure. Later, she'd think that slight change in angle had caused the point of the combat knife Willow jerked out of her belt to slice along her hand rather than her throat. But the pain, the smell of her own blood, changed Eve's tactics. "Fuck this!" On that sentiment, she gave Willow a sharp headbutt. The advantage was hers, considering the helmet. Then she short-jabbed her fist into Willow's larynx. She heard the knife clatter, felt the laser hand convulse, then give. Still working half-blind, Eve shifted again, shoved Willow over, yanked her arms behind her back. "I've got her!" Eve called out as she snapped on restraints. "I've got her! Hold fire! And somebody get this smoke clear!" A little lightheaded and queasy from it, Eve dragged off her helmet. It didn't make it better, and, in fact, brought it home that her head pounded like a bass drum. Someone moved through the haze toward her. Of course it would be Rourke. He crouched beside her, took her bleeding hand. "We need the MTs. Just need to mop it up. There are plenty to mop her up, so..." He guided her toward the door as her team flowed in to deal with the rest. "Just a little fresh air," she managed. "How long was I in that crap? An hour?" "Under 5 minutes, from the first flash to the takedown." "Under five." She gulped in clearer air on the second floor. "It felt like an hour." "Every bit of it," he agreed, as he took a handkerchief from his pocket to wrap around her bleeding hand. "Couldn't get to you," he told her. "And when I nearly did, you slammed the door in my face." "Timed it so she ran right into it. I didn't want her getting out of the room. Didn't want to risk it. Or one of my team getting blasted. Or blasting me by mistake. Magic code or not, a lot of weapons on scene. Couldn't call out and give her a bead on me. So I concluded. Back to the kitchen, I'd say. Cleaner air, some water, a chair. I can go for all three. I breathe through my toes." "What now?" "Master Wu. Couldn't see in the smoke and flash. Couldn't hear clearly with the helmet. breathed through my toes, became the fish. Or maybe it was the pebble. Man, her head thumped and banged. Had to lift the visor to do it, but which is why you'll have a black eye. Yeah? She lifted her hand, poked with her finger. Ow! Anyway, it worked. Best Christmas present ever! You're welcome, he said, taking a firmer grip when she stumbled, drunk on the smoke. He steered her into the kitchen, where McNabb was pushing water to a gray-faced Peabody. The stair creaked, Peabody croaked it. One of those things, Eve said. When the grenade hit, I couldn't see a damn thing, and I misjudged the stairs. I went down like a brick. Eve angled her head as Rourke got more water. Is that the chin bruise? Hit the tread when I tripped. Obviously disgusted, Peabody tapped the flat of her hand under the raw bruising on her chin. The helmet wrapped up. Bit my tongue, saw stars. And I didn't have your back. Eve held up a finger, guzzled the water until the burning in her throat went down to raspy aching. The head banging, eye throbbing, hand stinging probably required more than water. But God, it tasted just then better than real coffee. So, you just sat on the steps crying like a baby? No! She crawled! McNabb rubbed Peabody's shoulders. I couldn't see. At first I could hear you. I could hear the banging around and she was firing. You too, but I didn't want to risk a stream hitting you. You called out. Eve went back over it all in her head. Drew her fire. You too, she said to Rourke. Stupid risk, but that's back up in my book. Then I couldn't hear you, Peabody continued. Or see you. Feeney shouting, you're to my left, but it's a wall. And Rourke's there pulling me up. I can hear the others coming. We finally found the door. Magic coat, McNabb added, resting his cheek on Peabody's head. I'd have taken one mid-body without it. You too, Peabody said to Rourke. Aren't we the lucky ones? But you shut the door. And she ran right into it, knocked herself down. Then I had her. But you're bleeding. Eve took another blissful swallow of water. You too. But we got her. So let's take a moment here. She closed eyes that felt as if they'd been scrubbed with sand. Then we'll go clean it up. 19. Eve took her time. Even let the MTs clean up and slap some new skin over the gash on her hand. The bruises elsewhere, and she had plenty of them, could wait. Because she wanted privacy and air, she stepped outside with Rourke. They'd moved the barricades in, closing off the area directly around the building. That didn't stop the gawkers and reporters, and really, what was the difference from pressing against those barricades? But she could, and she did, ignore the questions spewed out, turned her back to cameras aimed in her general direction. You'd think people would have something better to do. For most of these? Murder doesn't come into their lives every day. Then they should be grateful. She actively wanted to kick something, and her own ass would have done the job. I screwed up in there. What? When and how? He demanded. And remember, I was there. You weren't in here. She tapped her temple. Too much in here kept thinking of her as a kid. I told everybody, forget her age, it doesn't apply, but I didn't. She got off strikes, at you, at Peabody. Strikes that could have done serious damage, and the flash grenades on top of it, because I didn't move faster and harder. You're going to have to review your own recorder and see for yourself how completely bollocks that is. Faster and harder, she repeated. Even when I had her one-on-one, I think maybe I held back just a little, just enough. If that's true, and as I've had a look at both of you after that one-on-one, I tend to disagree. The only one that got hurt is yourself. He wanted to take that wounded hand, kiss it, brush his lips over the darkening bruises on her face. But he judged, at that moment, she needed her dignity more than the distraction. She's not like you, Eve. She's never been like you, will never be like you. Got that. She blew out a breath that streamed white in the cold, vanished. Maybe I didn't before, but I've got that solid now, and I won't be holding back when I take her in the box. She looked at him then, those wild blue eyes. Had it really been that same day they'd, tired, sickened, stressed, swiped at each other with Somerset between them? It felt like years had passed. You should go home, she told him, and sleep. Reaching into her pocket, he pulled out the snowflake cap, pulled it over her head. Did you miss the memo, where I sleep when you do? Then you should go home, buy a couple planets. Seriously, you must have work you've shuffled aside for this. I can work at Central. She blew out a second breath, met those gorgeous blue eyes again. We're gonna have to get you a damn office at the shop. Tempting, he smiled, but thanks all the same. It makes it just a bit too official for the likes of me. The likes of you helped bring her down. Don't forget it. Those people over there, the ones who don't have murder in their lives every day and are really hoping to see some blood, maybe a DB. Any one of them, Rourke. Any one of them could have been next, and they don't get that. They'll talk over a brew later about being this close to a killer. They'll be able to talk about it because you helped bring her down. Yet I'm not the one with a 6-inch gash on my hand, a black eye, and I suspect bruises elsewhere. Yeah, she shifted her aching shoulders. We'll get to the elsewhere later. Ah, my personal bonus. Well, she flicked her good hand over the cap, nodded. If you're going to work at Central, let's get moving. Peabody? How about you drive, she said to Rourke. I've got some things to set up. She started setting them up as they circumvented the barricade, ignored the crowd, and headed back to the car. Nadine came first. You fed me false information, Nadine said immediately, with some serious rancor. No, I didn't. I just didn't give you all the information. Why does your face look like that? What's wrong with your left eye? Nothing. I'm trying to get camera ready between lightning bulletins. And she continued to expertly line her left eye as she ranted. You weren't anywhere near Lexington Avenue. Not personally, but there was an op in place there, as I told you. But you and Willow Mackey weren't in that place, in that operation. Now I've got to get my ass into the station, go on air, and spin all my earlier bulletins so I don't look like an ass, while New York One happened to have a damn reporter half a block from where you took that bitch down and has already done live remotes right on scene. Well, you could do that, Eve said as Rourke drove. Or you could get your half-camera-ready self down to Central and broadcast a one-on-one exclusive with the primary who led the op and took that bitch down. If you take option two, you'd better get there fast. 15 minutes, Nadine said, and cut Eve off. Peabody, arrange for Willow Mackey to be brought into an interview room as soon as she's medically cleared, and find out if she's asked for a lawyer. Rio, she said into her link, Willow Mackey's been taken into custody. So I heard. New York One's all over it. I'm on my way into Central. Good. We need to talk.
Did you get your face banged up in the arrest?
Yeah, there was a little scuffle.
Isn't that a shame?
Rio smiled sweetly. Put some ice on it. I'll see you there.
Eve spent the rest of the drive contacting Mira, then Whitney. The minute Rourke pulled into her slot in Central's garage, Eve hopped out.
Peabody?
Interview A. She's been cleared medically and will be brought up within the next 10. She hasn't said the L word yet.
Good. I want you to forget her age.
Done. Believe me.
But worker, like that's a factor for you.
Sympathetic.
Peabody sighed and sighed long.
I'm always sympathetic.
Because it comes off real. But over that, play the disappointed and somewhat angry teacher to the student who fucked up. Adult to child, and the adults in charge.
I can do that.
There's more, and we need to work out the timing in a huddle with Rio. I'm gonna square things with Nadine. Eve rocked on her heels in the elevator as she calculated. All in all, that should give her a solid 20 minutes to sit and wait in the box.
She's used to waiting,
Peabody pointed out. Not for this.
If you want to observe, she began, glancing over at Rourke, I'll be in and out, and close enough when you're finished with this.
She got off the elevator, headed straight for her office.
I'm going to tap your coffee, Rourke told her, before I take myself off to a quiet spot for an hour or so.
You can use my office. I may end up there, but you'll need it for a bit, won't you?
Even as he said it, they stepped in to find Rio waiting.
That was fast. I'd just gone to my office. If I'm working on Saturday, I might as well work.
Hi, Rourke.
I'll be out of your way in just a moment.
Coffee?
Oh, boy, yeah.
What happened to your hand?
She asked Eve.
She had a knife.
Eve sat on the edge of her desk, took the coffee Rourke offered.
I'll take mine to go.
Unconcerned about Eve's dignity in front of Rio, Rourke caught Eve's chin in his hand, kissed her firmly.
Go finish it.
I'll see you tomorrow,
Rio smiled at him,
at a happier event.
What's tomorrow? Eve demanded as Rourke strolled out.
Bella's birthday party.
What?
No, that's tomorrow?
Sunday afternoon, Rio confirmed.
And really good timing, as it turns out.
Eve stared into her coffee. I just can't catch a break.
Oh, what's your problem? It's happy. There'll be cake. And surely adult beverages.
Now let's talk about our murderous teenager.
Yeah, wait. I want Peabody in on this.
To make that happen, Eve merely stepped to the door, shouted, Peabody!
But she did program a coffee regular and shove it into her partner's hand when Peabody came in, double-time clomp.
Close the door.
Okay, here's how I want to play it. There's some timing involved.
Eve ran it through for them. Together, they discussed strategy, tactics, legalities. As she finished off her coffee, she glanced over at the sharp knock on her door.
That's going to be Nadine.
Peabody, go on and check on our suspect, from observation. I'm going to need about 10 minutes.
Eve opened the door.
Before Nadine could spew out the words that went with the hard gleam in her eyes, Rio stepped forward.
Hey, how are you? I heard you were at Madison Square.
Backstage and out of the action. Plenty of action around here and more to come. If I don't get a chance to see you before you leave, we'll talk tomorrow.
Same goes.
And Peabody, recognizing that gleam, hustled out with Rio. Now Nadine shut the door.
You lied to me.
I did not.
Would I if it saved lives? Absolutely. But I didn't. I used you, Eve added, and as a result, you saved lives. One of them could have been mine. Thanks.
What kind of bullshit?
It's not. You can spend the time I have to give you bitching at me, or you can let me lay it out for you, then have your exclusive. Your choice.
The gleam stayed hard.
We're supposed to be friends. Over and above the rest of it, Dallas. We're supposed to be friends.
Yeah, that happened. That happened, and because of it, I never thought of or considered tagging anyone else. I know my friends. I may have more of them than I actually want, but I know them, or they wouldn't be, and I knew I could count on you. You could have told me the truth and still counted on me.
Since she'd figured they'd have to push through this first, Eve shrugged, programmed coffee for Nadine.
I did tell you the truth. I left out the part of it that would have compromised your journalistic integrity.
She passed Nadine the coffee.
Because fuck it, Nadine, we're not